and welcome to Best Girl Grip, the podcast that celebrates the women behind the scenes of the British film industry. I'm your host, Nicole Davis. I wanted to start this podcast because it felt like there were lots of roles, be it in distribution, marketing, programming, post-production, or even on a film set, that don't get the attention they deserve. Likewise to the women doing those jobs. I'll be interviewing guests on how they got their start in the film industry, what it is they actually do, what keeps them motivated, and what their ambitions are. This week, I have a very special bonus minisode to share with you. Applications for the 2019 edition of iFeatures are currently open until 9 a.m. on Friday the 29th of March. So Jude Lister, Creative England's film project manager, came on the podcast to talk about the evolution of iFeatures and what they look for in an application. So Jude manages programmes for new and emerging UK film talent, including the aforementioned iFeatures and also the short film initiative Short Flicks, aimed at young people aged 18 to 25. Prior to joining Creative England, she worked for Encounters Short Film Festival in Bristol and has also run international filmmaking workshops, screening programmes and short film competitions for Nissi Massa, European Network of Young Cinema, as well as editing zines covering film festivals around the world. If you're looking to apply to this year's iFeatures scheme, which is incubated and invested in films such as Apostasy, Lady Macbeth, God's Own Country, The Leveling, The Goob, Adult Life Skills, and Pincushion, then I definitely recommend you give this a listen. This is episode 11 of the Best Girl Grip podcast.
England, which is a not-for-profit company which works across not only film but also TV, games and tech and digital, and basically supports growth of the creative industries across England. In terms of my day-to-day work, I manage the running of film programmes, so two in particular. One is iFeatures, which is for debut feature filmmakers, and the other one is Short Flicks, which is for 18 to 25 year olds who are looking to make their first proper funded short film and who have a brilliant idea to bring to the screen and broadcast on Sky Arts.
And are they year-round programmes?
So iFeatures has evolved and has become an annual programme, so the idea is that we launch it around the same time each year. For Short Flicks, we actually ran a pilot a few years ago, but the films were broadcast on Sky last May, so that's been a kind of longer cycle, but mainly because we got that pilot off the ground, got the films out there, and we're now at a point where we're able to get those partners on board again, and you know, the films have done really, really well, so we're now in a position to kind of hopefully launch that soon as well.
And how did you get into Creative England?
So I guess I had a bit of a strange way into the film industry. I did a languages degree, I studied French and Italian, and when I graduated I decided that I wanted to move abroad for a while and become properly fluent in all of those languages. But I also had become really interested in film through volunteering for various film festivals. So I, for example, the Edinburgh Film Festival I volunteered at many years ago now, and just was absolutely bowled over. It was a whole new world for me, seeing so many different kinds of films from all over the world. It really opened my eyes to new types of cinema, and I thought, yes, that's definitely something I want to be involved in. Basically found a volunteering placement in France, and I actually ended up staying out there for about 5 years, working for, again, a not-for-profit organisation, which is like a network of youth organisations working in film. So a lot of it was, you know, quite exciting, really, kind of workshops bringing together young people from all different nationalities to make films, make short films, and also to edit film zines. Mm. So we went to lots of different film festivals. So yeah, I basically ran a lot of crazy workshops, and we did some crazy itinerant things, like we went across an archipelago in Finland on a little trawler boat and shot some documentaries around there. And yeah, a lot of it was kind of European funded. It was all about bringing young people together. But yeah, it's really interesting because a lot of the people from back then are now, you know, really coming up in the industry and winning loads of awards and stuff. So it's really nice to see. So I did that for about 5 years, and then I decided that I needed a change, and I started working for Encounter Short Film and Animation Festival in Bristol, which is a fantastic festival, which, you know, is such a champion of its filmmakers and of supporting new talent, and it's a real hub for industry, and at the same time, a really friendly event, and I would recommend filmmakers try and attend if they can. Yeah, so I worked for them for a few years on kind of marketing and development, and I kind of still do shorts for them as well. So yeah, and then basically came to do the job that I do now, working way up from coordinator to project manager.
It's interesting, obviously, that Encounters is Bristol-based, and before we started recording, you were saying that Creative England has two hubs, one in Bristol and one in Manchester. What do you think is the value of having a base in a regional city as opposed to London?
I mean, for Creative England, it's really in our DNA, because the reason we exist, you know, a lot of our focus is on the growth of the creative industries in the English regions outside of London. A lot of our programmes are UK-wide as well, but we kind of grew out of, we were kind of born out of the coming together of various regional screen agencies. And so that was very much something that was there from the very beginning of the company and has remained the main focus. And, you know, so it was never really a question of being in London. I would say, you know, also just, I've never actually lived in London, to be honest, and for me, being in a city like Bristol, there's more than enough on the creative scene happening, and
you never felt compelled to kind of move anywhere else to get a job, or you never felt like you were missing out.
I mean, I'd never say never, but I guess it would need to be the right opportunity. And actually, we're always keen to make sure that people don't feel they have to move to London and that they do feel supported to build their careers out there, you know, wherever they're based. I definitely think there's a quite damaging aspect in terms of the concentration of those opportunities currently being in London, and it's something that we're always trying to make sure that people in the regions have access to the opportunities. And because, you know, we have this phrase which is talent is everywhere, opportunity is not, which I think applies in a lot of different ways to, you know, various underrepresented groups.
Also, what you're speaking about, like working your way up from coordinator to film programme manager, obviously you've kind of seen massive growth in what iFeatures has become. Can you talk a bit about how it's changed and what its ambitions for the future are?
So iFeatures has changed enormously. It actually started out as something that was Bristol-based, so all of the first round of films were shot in Bristol. And it's now a UK-wide initiative for stories and talent from across the country. So that in itself is quite the evolution. I think for us, it's getting that range of stories and those compelling stories, ones that we maybe haven't heard before and or that have an original perspective. And we're often looking for stories that have a strong sense of time and place, and to make sure that we have a broad range of those stories coming from all over the UK, I think it's so, so important in terms of the creative talent and creative voices that you've got and coming into the industry. So iFeatures has also changed in the sense that it's now very much a development lab. In the past, there was quite a rigid structure in that we had, say 12 projects at the beginning, and then there would be a kind of knockout round where half of them would be kind of kicked off the programme. And then at the end, we had these panels where, you know, three films, they would decide on three films to green light. We've really moved away from that and more towards a real world financing conversation. We have 12 projects and 12 teams that stay on for the full duration of the lab. And the idea is that, you know, we support all of them. Usually they go from treatment through to a kind of polished draft script. And throughout the process of the lab, the aim is to also get them as market ready as possible so that they can then go out and finance by whichever means. And our partners are the BFI and BBC Films. They have committed to kind of progressing three films to production, but not necessarily the same three. And it just, you know, we've opened up much more in terms of the flexibility of the financing and also the budget level. You know, we kind of have a bracket that we work within now, but it's definitely not as rigid as in the past where we had a, you know, we said, oh, it's at this specific budget. So I think all of those changes mean it's a much less artificial and much more real world process, hopefully for the benefit of the films and for the benefit of the stories and for the filmmakers also in their experience of it.
What are you looking for in applicants? Like, what do they have to do to show you that they can kind of complete the scheme?
So we have an open application process and we ask for previous work, so whether that's from TV or short films, or, you know, we've had people crossing over from theatre, commercials, music videos. So we ask for previous work, and then we also ask for a 5-page treatment for the actual proposed film. Also ask for a creative statement, so we'll ask the team to come up with something that outlines their creative vision, but also how they will work together and why they feel they're ready for the iFutures initiative at this specific moment in time. You know, bearing in mind that it's an annual initiative, so if you're not quite ready this year, then, you know, there's an opportunity not too far away to apply again. I guess it's the mix of really looking at that previous work and seeing the creative voice in there and the talent in there, and then looking at the proposed project and whether it's something that is exciting to develop. We have a whole team of external assessors, trusted assessors, who help us read these applications, and then we go through several stages of assessment, and then we come up with a short list. And then there's an interview list. It's quite, you know, last year we had 800 applications around about, so it needs to have a really structured assessment process to it. I guess what I love about that is that, yes, there are obviously people on our radar who come through, but there are also people who we weren't necessarily aware of who kind of, there's definitely a few on this current slate who kind of came a bit more out of the usual channels and have really, you know, really pleasantly kind of surprised us. It's always nice to make those discoveries.
Is that the part you enjoy the most, the sort of discovering and enabling?
Yeah, I mean, I just love basically working with really talented people and seeing them going on that journey from, you know, that initial treatment through to a first draft script, and then seeing beyond that when they bring it to the screen. It's just so, so interesting to witness that process and be part of it in a small way and to help support them in those early stages and make sure that they get support that is really tailored for them. So a lot of my kind of job is being a kind of contact point for filmmakers and setting them up with things like mentoring and other skill support, which is, you know, one of the things that we offer via iFutures.
On like an individual basis, like you match them with someone.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's just, and iFutures projects, you know, not just the ones that were financed through the previous green light system, but ones that have gone on to be financed with alternative means, you know, like God's Own Country or Adult Life Skills, you know. It's really brilliant to see how iFutures has grown as a platform as well, and as a kind of, I guess, marker of ones to watch. And I try to temper my use of the word emerging, because I think a lot of filmmakers are like, well, when have I emerged?
Yeah, you know? It's hard to gauge.
It's because also a lot of people come to us and they are already very established, but potentially in a slightly different discipline. For, you know, as I said, a lot of people cross over from theatre or from TV or, you know, whatever. But I think it's being in that space that's very exciting, in that kind of discovery space.
Have you got any projects that you're particularly proud of?
Ones that have come out of...
Yeah, ones that have come out of iFutures, and perhaps they surprised you with perhaps sort of how they were received or...
I mean, it's always hard to predict how audiences are going to receive films. I certainly don't have a crystal ball, but I think certainly Lady Macbeth really has, I guess, exceeded expectations in how it's done, not only critically and at festivals, but also commercially, that it performed rather well for a British independent film. And, you know, again, God's Own Country, which was one that was developed through iFeatures, has also done really, really well. And, you know, Apostasy was the most recent one to come out, which just absolutely blew me away. The Leveling as well, Hope Dixon Lynch's film. I think, you know, we've really seen extremely high quality films coming out of our features.
What do you think people that are writing low budget features can do to sort of elevate that material? Because obviously when you are making a micro budget feature, there are limits.
Mm.
So yeah, how do you get to the level of Lady Macbeth and God's Own Country?
I mean, low budget doesn't have to mean low ambition, you know? It's about great storytelling, and it's about perhaps an original approach or an original way of seeing something. And certainly, you know, with Lady Macbeth, it was a really fresh take on the period film genre. And I think that's something that really connects with the audience. On top of that, you had, you know, an amazing performance from Florence Pugh, who was at exactly that right stage in her career for a really juicy role like that. That was, you know, a real gift on both sides, I think. If we all knew exactly what that was, you know, I think this would be a lot easier. But I think it's bringing something new to the table. And with God's Own Country, you know, it was that it had so much heart and so much tenderness, and although people were comparing it to, you know, it's the Yorkshire Brokeback Mountain, it's like, well, no, because it's actually not about a character who's conflicted about his sexuality in any way. It's a love story. It's about somebody who's discovering that falling in love and overcoming other things in his life. And, you know, again, really strong sense of place. You know, Frances Lee grew up around those parts, and it's so authentic to that and to his own experience of the landscapes and how that infiltrates the mood of the film.
You were saying before how you had people that you knew of that were kind of coming up the ranks. How do you scout for people? How do you sort of get people to apply in terms of, you know, raising the visibility of the programme? Or, can you talk a bit about how that works?
So I guess by now with iFeatures, we feel like people who are very much connected to the industry already know about us. So the work that we do is more focused on people who may not be aware or may have a different perception and think, oh, it's maybe not for me, and to try and break down some of those maybe false perceptions or barriers in a way. So I guess, yeah, it's more focusing on the people who wouldn't necessarily be on our radars and who need a bit of encouragement to say, actually, that could be for me. I mean, I think the crucial thing for us is to work with partners. So we work with other industry bodies. So, for example, now that we've become a UK-wide programme, we kind of liaise with Film Cymru, with Scottish Film Talent Network, with Northern Ireland Screen, and we try and get out the word across the UK and in the nations. Because, again, you know, because iFeatures was previously only across England, you know, it's like saying, actually, you know, we're open now to the nations and shouting about that. And then working with group, you know, organisations that are more focused on underrepresentation, so like Women in Film and TV, Triforce, 104 Films, you know, there are so many organisations out there doing great work.
Your latest cohort, I think it was in 2018, there were over 50% female directors and about 40% all filmmaking teams. Was this a deliberate strategy? How did that kind of arise?
I'd say on the one hand, yes, it's very deliberate and we're very serious about gender balance. But on the other hand, you know, we had so many strong women-led projects and so many strong stories, and So it also came about quite naturally, to be honest, and the talent and the stories are out there. So it's, you know, we adhere to the BFI diversity standards, and we obviously are very committed to not only the gender balance, but other areas of underrepresentation. It's not something we've been struggling to meet in any way, because the talent is there. Definitely, I think there's a momentum, and I think there's a cross-industry will to really actually let's stop talking about it and let's do it. Yes, it's about looking harder, but also about how we communicate. It's about the language we use. It's about all kinds of different things. It's also about structural factors in the industry and barriers that people face on so many levels in terms of advancing their careers.
I'm also quite sensitive to the fact that obviously programmes like iFeatures are great for bringing in emerging or kind of first-time filmmakers. But once you've discovered and nurtured that voice, how do we go about as an industry keeping them working and keeping them in the industry, particularly female filmmakers, because that drop-off point is quite alarming between sort of women's first and second features. There's a big gap there.
Yeah, I mean, I think that overall drop-off point is quite high, isn't it? But particularly for women. And yeah, I definitely think that, again, organisations like Raising Films are doing great things, you know, lobbying on in terms of parents and carers within the industry, and kind of working on making sure that actually everybody in the industry has, you know, because so many people are it's all freelance, you know, you don't have a HR department that you can go to, and just making sure that people have that support. There's definitely a strong argument for more programmes for, you know, second and third time directors. I think obviously the hope is with iFeatures certainly that giving them that platform will really kind of be a launch pad for them to develop their careers. But there's all kinds of decisions that once you've made your first feature you come up against, because you know, you become hot property for a key kind of moment. And it's things like, do I want to continue to direct only my own work and go down that auteur route, or am I open to directing other people's work? You know, and I think it's not an easy thing to navigate for a filmmaker, really. And I think if you don't have that second project kind of already underway, I think some people can kind of burn out in a sense, because the first feature comes out, it does all the festivals, they're traveling the world, and then they kind of come back down to earth and it's like, oh, okay, what now? Given the partners that are involved in iFeatures, we hope that they'll develop certainly relationships with funders, and that they will become, you know, that they will be in a good position to pick and choose from there what they want to do next. I think the hardest part of what I do, and I think a lot of people would say this about their jobs, is that, you know, we're... The delivery is quite intense often, and you don't always get as much time as you'd like to get out there and just talk to filmmakers and do that outreach work. And we're a very, very small film team at Creative England. And yeah, it just doesn't feel like there's enough hours in the day, and not necessarily enough breathing space to kind of pause and reflect and say, right, okay, do we need to change the way we do things? And but I think, you know, ultimately it's just so rewarding to work with such talented people and to see them progress and get out there into the industry and make more amazing stuff, and that's why we do it.
Do you feel like the landscape for British filmmaking is particularly vibrant at the moment?
Yeah, I think, you know, we've seen some really interesting British independent filmmaking. Personal favourites of mine would be I Am Not a Witch, Megan Leone's film, Beast also I really love, Michael Pearce's film. I think there's some really exciting stuff happening, and hopefully, you know, iFeatures is seen as a part of that and kind of bringing up those filmmakers. Yeah, there's definitely been some key films that have come out in the past few years that have bolstered that sense of optimism. And
do you think, in light of the current landscape, it has the potential to remain that way, or do you think there are sort of changes afoot
I mean, hopefully, yes, we can keep that momentum going. And I'm going to be really excited to see, you know, now that we're an annual programme, what happens with all of these films that are coming out every year of our initiative, and just generally in the industry as well. I think there's a lot of uncertainty, obviously, at the moment. I mean, yeah, who knows what the next few months are going to bring.
And finally, would you have any advice for people that are looking to apply?
I would say have a look at the projects which are on our current slate, kind of get a feel for the kinds of projects and people that we support. I would also say think about your path so far and how ready you feel for iFeatures as the next step and how that can help you. Often we'll get projects in from people who... And we can see that the previous work is good, but perhaps you can't really see the progression from, say, the short film to the feature. I would say if you are feeling at a stage in your career where you feel ready for this kind of intensive programme, which gives you space to explore your craft and to explore how you want to tell that story of your first feature, then iFeatures is potentially for you. We're very open to people who are crossing over from other creative disciplines, but we want to see that you have a kind of mature creative vision for this project and that you really, really are passionate about telling this story. And we want to see how through your previous work there's kind of through line through to this feature idea and how there's kind of this is a the next step for you, I guess, creatively.
Thank you so much to Jude for sparing the time to shed light on what iFeatures does and what it looks for. Best of luck to all the applicants and to the next crop of filmmakers that are selected. And thank you again for listening to this episode. We'll be back to normal with another episode on Tuesday morning, so do look out for that. This has been the Best Girl Grip podcast.